Well, is the way that maths has been taught in our primary schools for the past 15 years a factor in declining student achievement? The latest Ministry of Education research shows that at Year 4, most primary students are in line with curriculum expectations, but by Year 8, most are below expectations. New Zealand's results in the international PISA surveys of high school maths achievement at age 15 have also been declining. A new report by the business think tank, the New Zealand Initiative, says primary children are being held back because of a lack of emphasis on the basics. And it says much of the blame lies with the $70 million numeracy project, which 15 years ago dramatically changed the way maths was taught in primary schools, moving away from rote learning to focus on concepts and using a range of strategies to solve maths problems. The report, written by researcher Rose Patterson, also points to inconsistent messaging from the Ministry of Education and the fact many teachers lack the math skills to teach the complex strategies they are expected to communicate. Our guest first is the researcher Rose Patterson. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
Why did you do this report?
I did this report because a friend of mine actually came to me about a year and a half ago and said her daughter, who's about 10 years old, is really struggling with her maths at school. And she said that she's learning all these different methods for learning her times tables, and she didn't understand what was going on. And she tried to sit down with her daughter and sort of show her the, you know, the column method that we learned when we were at school. And her daughter said, "Mum, we don't learn it like that anymore. You know, what are you doing?" And she was quite frustrated and confused, and you know, all these complicated methods are just confusing her. And so I thought, you know, what is going on here? So that's why I started having a look into this numeracy project and the way that maths has been, the way that maths is taught has changed over the last 15 years.
One anecdote's different from another anecdote's different from another anecdote. That's the issue, isn't it? And children learn differently. That's another issue at play here. So when you went about this, how did you set your own parameters?
Yeah, so the New Zealand Initiative, usually we do sort of desktop-based research, and basically I knew that the numeracy project was in play and that it had changed the way that maths was taught, and I wanted to have a look at the history of it and a lot of the messaging that had come from the ministry over that 15-year period, because, you know, important consideration is I don't think the ministry ever intended for the eye to go off the basics, but some of the messages that they sent over that time you know, did take the eye off the basics. So it was sort of looking at the history of that project, but also having a look, well, since the project has been in place since 15 years ago, what has happened to maths results over that time? And there's a very clear story there that maths has been in decline.
Your exec summary says maths performance showed signs of improvement in the mid to late 1990s, but has been in decline since then. Hmm. By what measures?
By several measures, so mostly from the TIMSS survey, so that's the Trends in Mathematics and Science study, which
is done by the ministry?
It is done by the ministry, but it's an international mm-hmm. study, so the ministry sort of does it on behalf of that international organisation. And so it's an amazing study because you can get internationally comparable results and see how New Zealand kids are doing compared with children in other countries, and also look at over time how we're doing.
And what age is that looking? Is the TIMSS?
That is Year 5 and Year 9 students, right. Yeah.
Okay, so that's one measure. Have you looked at others?
Yeah, so we looked at PISA as well, and that is with 15-year-olds, and we've mostly concentrated on the primary school years because that's where we think a lot of the problem is.
Yeah, but high school kids now are at primary school.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, in PISA you sort of saw performance was pretty stable from when it started from 2000 to 2009, but then you saw a big drop-off at 2012. Now, we can't, you know, ever attribute that directly to the numeracy project. It's impossible to do that on a research or a scientific basis. But we think it's quite likely that this is one of the factors that has contributed to that declining performance.
What changed? When you look at the history of the numeracy project, what were the fundamental changes to the way maths were taught from 2000?
Basically, it was a pendulum swing towards what they call relational understanding or relational learning and away from instrumental understanding. And that's quite technical language, so it's probably better to use a metaphor, which I really like, which is the relational understanding is grasshopper learning. So it's kind of big picture, creative problem solving, it's estimative, it's working things out mentally in your head. Whereas the instrumental learning, which is sort of the more old school methods, is like inchworm learning. So it's very step-by-step and methodical, right, and rote and prescriptive.
And so that looked like, that looked like what? From early primary, what did the old system look like? Are we talking about things like Cuisenaire rods where, you know, you've got one that has one value and another has another value, and by using those particular representations of value, you began to teach children what addition was, for example?
Yeah, I think I think it's a mentality change among the educators. So towards sort of, you know, we've got this example in our report where there's these three different methods for working out the nine times tables. And, you know, these are legitimate ways to think about number, but the emphasis is taken off that basic just learning your times
so
tables.
So instead of having one way of rote learning your times tables, what came in instead with what, three different ways of establishing that conceptually?
Yeah,
what were
yeah.
those different ways? Carry on and explain them to me.
So the different ways, I've got the report in front of me here, and you know, it's talking about how children learn in different ways, and of course they do. So one child says, you know, this is nine, that, you know, 5 times 10 is 50, you take one group of five off that and you get your answer, which is 45. And then the other one is using patterns. So if you were doing 9 times 5, you would take a 1 off the 5, that's 4, and then you add another 5 on to get to the 9 and you get 45. And so, and there's lots of different sort of methods. And, you know, as adults, we can understand that and we probably do think about number in that way. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with teaching children different ways of thinking, but to try to teach them all of these different ways all at once just seems nonsensical to me.
The reason for doing it was what? Because children might use different methods to get to the same result? Or was it to try and develop concepts right from the very start? What was the logic behind it?
I think it was, I mean, I don't know. I think it was probably a little bit of both. It's quite interesting. There was a study done in Brazil in the early 1990s, and what they found was they looked at street traders, so children who were working in their parents' businesses, selling vegetables at the market and that kind of thing. And so they would ask them, you know, how do you work out the value of 4 coconuts or something like that? And the children would explain to the researchers, well, I work it out like this, and sort of the ways that I was just talking about, where you add 3 coconuts, then you add another 1 on, then take 5 off, and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So they're working out in that sort of conceptual way. And what they found was when those children were in the classroom in their normal school situation, they couldn't do the same mathematical problem in the written method. So it's very easy to draw a conclusion from that children don't learn by rote learning or sitting there with a pen and pencil and working things out. But it's up to the teacher to link those concepts together. So you
they have to know what they're trying to do before they can do it by various methods.
So.
Is that a question? I'm really interested to talk to our professor in a moment about this. They need to understand what it is they're supposed to be doing before they can use a variety of ways of getting there.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point.
But you haven't been able to establish that in this report, can you? All you can say is, since this happened, these things have happened.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, I don't have an insight into, you know, there's 1,900 primary schools in this country, you know, multiple classrooms in each, and you know, there are many teachers doing many different things. So it's very hard sitting in Wellington to sort of work out what exactly is going on out there. We think that it's probably the lack of the basics, and the research does show that as well. We can't sort of see what exactly is happening in the classroom. But, and some teachers will be getting the balance right. What we know is that when you look at those studies, those internationally comparable studies, and the NEMP study as well, which is the New Zealand Education Monitoring Project, improvements have been constrained by a lack of focus in the basics.
Improvements, or in fact, in some places, a slide, a demonstrable slide?
Yeah, it has been a slide, yeah. So they did find improvements in the late 1990s with that one, while the numeracy project was sort of in its pilot phase. But they've said, you know, it's the lack of the basics that's holding kids back in those reports. And that's found time and time again.
This goes back to the start of the numeracy project, just this document here. The biggest difference in schools involved in the numeracy project is that children are encouraged to learn a range of different ways to solve problems, to choose the most appropriate one for each. You, this is talking to parents, you may be familiar with certain rules for doing maths. While these still work, your child may learn different ways to solve problems. Often these methods involve mental strategies or working things out in your head rather than written methods. There is one enticing, just looking back over the history, one enticing report here in 2002 in the New Zealand Herald. Tests of a new approach to primary school maths have proven so successful that reciting times tables and rote learning may be a thing of the past by 2005. All right. What then? So you're raising questions and saying something's going wrong. Do you reach any conclusion on what you believe is going wrong beyond the kids aren't quite grasping what they need to grasp in order to do what the project suggests they should be able to do?
But yeah, that's pretty much the main finding of the report. And the second main finding as well, and this is around teacher capability in maths. As I said before, it's about linking those abstract concepts, so, you know, the written form and these numbers that sort of mean nothing to a child initially, and linking those abstracts to concrete real-world examples. And so it's that linkage between the old-school kind of inchworm methods and the new school grasshopper methods, as it were. So it's about integrating the both, but that actually requires very capable teachers to do that. And what we've found in this report is that many teachers struggle with maths themselves.
How did you go about assessing the teacher capacity? I know I've had these conversations before, including with actually in the area of science with the teachers of the teachers, right? How did you go about establishing whether there's a capacity problem with the teachers?
It's actually a really hard thing to establish because there's not a lot of research, primary research done on that area. But Jenny Young-Loveridge, who is a well-respected maths researcher in New Zealand, did a study with a number of primary school teachers at the end of the Faculty of Education time, so just about before they were going into primary teaching. And she wanted to sort of test their maths capabilities to look at their content knowledge in the subject. And she was disappointed with the results to find that, they're sort of lacking in basic maths knowledge themselves. And the example we give in the report is that one third of teachers in that study couldn't add two fractions together, which is quite a simple task to be able to do. And the other thing we found...
We could all get picked on one isolated bit of our basic maths that doesn't quite work.
Yeah, well, you know?
Are you saying if this is at a stage when she's supposed to be teaching the children to do so? Or?
They're about to go into teaching at this stage. And this, you know, we pick out the fraction one as it's one example, but there are multiple other examples of questions that teachers couldn't do. And it's interesting because
are these teacher graduates, by the way, or teachers at all levels?
This is teacher graduates.
Well, that's interesting because I'm just trying to do the maths. Would many of them have been through this system themselves? Probably not. Probably they would have been...
Maybe in the sort of older...
All right, do you reach a conclusion? And if so, what is it? What is the question that you're asking, or B, the answer you would like to float out there?
The solution that we've come up with at the New Zealand Initiative is, we've got a number of solutions actually, but the main one is developing a certificate of maths teaching competency for new teachers, for teachers, sorry. And you probably know that EDUCANS, the Education Council of Aotearoa New Zealand, is about to be established on the 1st of July. That's replacing the
New Zealand Teachers Council.
And so we think it's quite a timely opportunity for them to develop something like this, where you would actually test teachers' knowledge of the subject, knowledge of maths, but also their knowledge of how to represent mathematical concepts in a way that children can understand, because that is also predictive of student achievement in maths. It's a sort of separate skill set from maths knowledge itself.
So being able to do it yourself doesn't necessarily mean
you can relate. Yeah, necessary but not sufficient, yeah.
So what are you proposing, a remedial maths class for teachers?
No, we're not proposing that. We're proposing this certificate, and we think the system would align towards it. So if this is something that people out there value, if schools value and principals want to see that their teachers have got maths competency, there's a sort of a consistent standard of, you know, where they should be at their maths. And teachers, I think that teachers actually are really motivated to see their students succeed in maths and in other subjects. And if they're struggling with maths themselves, they can work towards this as part of their professional development. And we think in-school professional development would align towards that, as would development within the initial teacher education programs.
I'm left a bit confused about whether you're saying the actual method and the substantive change to the method is the problem, or whether we have a capacity problem in the teaching of maths.
It's definitely both.
Right.
I think if you solve the capacity problem, then you go some way to solving the method problem, because once teachers actually understand maths themselves and know the content well and can understand how to add two fractions together, for example, then they're going to, you know, sort of gain an understanding of how children would learn.
Was this basically a literature review? Did you go and do any interviews and talk to any teachers or talk to any academics or anything along the way?
I spoke to a few people that were involved with the numeracy project and, a couple of academics, but not teachers.
Essentially, no. You've crunched the results and theorised.
Well, we found that since the numeracy project was introduced 15 years ago, that results have been in decline. So we certainly couldn't say that it has improved results.
All right. Thank you very much. Rose Patterson, researcher who has worked on this latest piece of work to come out of the New Zealand Initiative, the business think tank.